it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what? I had my rundown a little bit backwards. I apologize. We'll do what we were planning on doing coming up in about 15 minutes or so. But right now, let's head to Miami to be joined by Brendan Tobin. He is in Miami. He covers the Dolphins. There are a couple of players right now on the Dolphins that have been thrown in trade rumors. Let's see how real those rumors are. Brendan, happy to have you pop on with us today, my man.
Hey, good to be with you guys.
Absolutely. First off, man, we got to find out if you've been involved in any illegal poker games, because I would stop doing that immediately if you are.
No, all of my poker games are on the up and up in there. For Terry Rozier and whatever's going on down here, I can't say the same, but I got to imagine Eric Spoelstra was screaming into his pillow because they just wanted a normal year after the Jimmy Butler stuff last year. They just had their first game, and then they wake up to this. Just another crazy season in Miami.
I will say this. I mean, that's the most NBA story that I could possibly create in the first week of the season. It's the most Miami story you could create in the first month of the season, too.
Yeah, I think the thing that sucks for them, too, is it was already the worst trade possibly in their franchise's history, and it had nothing to do with when he was on the team. You know, his play on the court was bad enough, but now you have to put it on this radioactive thing of, oh, yeah, by the way, when he was on the Hornets, it's alleged that he may have taken himself out of a game for gambling purposes. It's all just going fantastic for him right now.
So let's talk about the Dolphins. I guess I got a Dolphins-related question, and then we'll get to some of the trade possibilities. Why have they not fired their coach yet? Because it feels like they're about to fire their coach here in the next 3 weeks.
Man, I would have thought that, there were a couple of losses already. I would have thought that Stephen Ross would have pulled the trigger, and he hasn't. In his history as the owner, he doesn't like firing or cleaning house. He's not a fan of it. The Brian Flores thing that all happened where they kind of got caught with all that, you know, the allegations were that he was ready to bring in Sean Payton and bring back in Tom Brady, and then they got caught with the whole scandal and lawsuit and all that. So they kind of ended up in this plan B with Mike McDaniel and having to, you know, save to his career. And he did a good job of it early on. They revamped this number 5 overall pick. And I do think that everybody really likes how Mike handles himself as a professional in that building. And I think he also probably knows that this wasn't a very good roster. He didn't spend as much on this because of some past busts that they've had. And Chris Greer has been in the organization for over 20 years. He's nearly a lifer with the Dolphins. And so, you know, Ross does have some loyalty to him. I think it really would pain him to get rid of these guys. People wanted them fired last year, and he came out even before their end of season press conference that he wouldn't do it. But you do get to a point, it's season ticket renewal time. The attendance is looking a little wonky. There's been banners before every game. So you got to know, I'm sure at one point, when is enough enough. And, I'm sure there is a breaking point. I don't know when it is, because I would have thought losing to the Browns would have been that, but not yet.
I am always for more content. It just makes my job easier. It makes your job easier. It gives us more things to talk about. So I'm usually with it. But if I was Tua, I would just take the fine every week from not speaking to the media. It hasn't helped him really at any point this season. He should stop doing it immediately.
Yeah, here's the thing, man. I've been covering Tua. I was, really there a lot at the facility when he was, going through those tough Brian Flores years. And, I remember the times when he was really just beaten down and, he went up there. So I do appreciate Tua's always willing to face the music. This year has been a little bit different because there's been kind of an arrogance and almost a not accepting of responsibility at times, which is not typically like his character. And that, I think, is really, you know, lost a lot of favor in his eyes with the, even the fans that were defending him, because he's been a very polarizing guy. Is he a franchise QB? Is he not? But even the most ardent supporters of him are like, hey, man, what are you talking about here? You know, you're throwing teammates under the bus. You're saying you're not half the quarterback of a division rival. You know, now yesterday we got to deal with the whole I can't see over the line thing, which is almost a rerun. I mean, nobody was talking about that when he said that a couple of years ago when they were decent. Now I wish somebody could tell to him and be like, hey, could you just not make us an Instagram joke for one day? And he was doing so good yesterday, too. I was, like, listening intently. He was handling it okay. He was taking extra accountability. He was even joking about his misfire where he was upset about a turnover and bunches comments. I'm like, all right, he's rolling. And then I get on Twitter, and all anybody can talk about is how he can't see over his lineman because he's too little. So, yeah, it is just his nature. He's not a QB speak guy. He always does speak from the heart, which, you know, parts of media, you do appreciate it. But when your team stinks, you just want everybody to kind of shut up.
Right now, we're talking to Brendan Tobin. He's with WQAM down in Miami. All right, let's get to a couple of the names that have been thrown out there as trade possibilities. Let's start with Jalen Phillips. That's just kind of a player that the Chiefs have liked over the last 5 years or so. Former first-round pick on an expiring contract. How much juice do you think he has left? What kind of season does he has left? Is he really a player that's up to be traded?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I think that all the reasons you mentioned with being in the contract situation that they are and being how bad the Dolphins are, I definitely think that the two guys you would probably look at are him and Bradley Chubb as guys who would be available. Chubb's obviously a little older, but they've both been hit with massive injuries over the last couple of years. And Jalen Phillips came back from an Achilles the year prior only to get hurt with a knee last year because one of his teammates ran right into it. So he made this huge comeback only to have another lower body injury. And so, you know, it's nothing he's not familiar with. He had a lot of injuries in college. He medically retired and then, you know, went from UCLA to the Miami Hurricanes, turned himself into a first-round pick. So this is a guy who just knows how to persevere back from really tough physical setbacks. But he hasn't looked the same this year, you know, for – you guys keeping an eye on your division rivals there and the Chargers, you know, he had an opportunity to set up a third and long and sack Justin Herbert. And, you know, Herbert just shook him off and he wasn't able to finish the play. So it's been a frustrating year for JP, but he's an A-plus dude. I mean, I think if the Chiefs did get him, you're getting like as quality a human as you could possibly add to your locker room. He's a physical freak specimen. It's just, you know, it's just the lower ligaments and being able to hold it all together. So if you're talking about a rental, amazing. And then I don't know with a guy with his medical history, like what kind of dollars it's going to cost on the back end of it if you do have to give him a new deal because he's had so many medical red flags. But, yeah, at his best, he could be an absolute force in this league, a lot like his buddy Bradley Chubb, who came here with knee injuries and has dealt with knee injuries. He just hasn't been able to consistently stay healthy, but when he is, he's absolutely scary getting after the quarterback.
I just don't see any scenario in which Kansas City would trade for Bradley Chubb. I'm not saying that he is untradeable, but he just started a new 3-year, $54 million deal with 33 guaranteed. He's locked in for this season and next year on a big contract. I don't think there's any chance the Chiefs would go get Bradley Chubb.
I think he restructured a lot of it, though, because he was so like he was on that money, but then because he basically didn't play on a lot of it, I think they redid it as to a lot of it not even being guaranteed anymore. So he took a pay cut before the season. So he's another one. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up getting moved. I think probably if I had to guess who would be, you know, who there would be more, you know, competition after, I would guess Jalen, just because of the upside, you know, being only 26 and people thinking that he gets back into form, he could be, you know, an elite pass rusher in this league. But, you know, but I honestly think that the for sale tent is up on a lot of guys on this team. There's probably a very few untouchables right now on this roster. But the other thing that is a little bit of a conundrum for the Dolphins is, you know, if they aren't going to keep Chris Greer around, like, how much is the organization looking forward to having him handle, like, all of these deals too? So that's another thing to consider with all this stuff.
That's why I think with Jalen Phillips, like, if you're telling me that the Chiefs pick up Jalen Phillips and they get him for a sixth round pick and they pick up a 25-year-old who has an expiring contract and they're basically just trying to see if there's anything left. I mean, to me, that's a good deal for a contending team. You use him as a rotational piece, you throw him on the field, and you see if you got something there.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, like, look, his numbers are down this year, but the Dolphins' defense I think the dirty secret that everybody doesn't want to talk about, because Tua's really been awful this year, but the defense has been just as bad, and it's not just a product of Jalen Phillips. They are basically have a defensive line that's Zach Sealer and a bunch of rookies that they're trying to put in, and you're starting to see some progress, but man, they've taken some real growing pains early on. And so I think that that's probably deterred a lot of production on guys, and you know, they're having to, like, blitz to stop the run. They're really trying to salvage this thing because they've been giving up a lot of points this year. So I could see, like, hey, he gets onto a defensive line with Chris Jones out there and veterans, and you're plugging him in. Like, I could definitely see this being a guy that could skyrocket in production in a better situation, because we've seen it down here. We've seen the talent of Jalen Phillips, and the guy is just, I mean, absolutely loved out here, being a product of the U. He's, I mean, legitimately one of the best guys in the community as far as charity is concerned, and doing a lot of that type of stuff as well. So I could see him definitely going into a winning situation and immediately making an impact and bringing those positive vibes to a team.
Two things here, and I'll get you out of here. We're talking to Brendan Tobin. He covers the Miami Dolphins. The first thing is, you guys have a very talented running back in Devon Achane. Is he available? You say that the yard sign is out there for everybody. I'm imagining, of all the players that they have, he the one that ain't going to be cheap.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's also probably going to be looking for a fat deal next year, and I'd imagine, because he has legitimately been the lone bright spot on what has been a turd of a season. He's been amazing. And basically, you know, any little production that Tua has had in the passing game has basically been a product of him making things happen. He's been incredible. I can't see them, you know, parting with him for, you know, anything cheap. I think that, you know, he's probably the guy that if anybody comes in and even wants this job, that's the guy that they're going to want to try and build the offense around, especially with Tyreek Hill's, you know, career in flux with the nasty knee injury that he had. So I can't see the Dolphins parting with him unless it's like they're blown away with some offer, like a first or a first and a third or something like that. And, you know, I understand with running backs, people can be a little hesitant to do that, and especially with him not being the biggest guy in the world. But, man, he's electric. He's tough. He's exceeded every expectation. The funny thing is, like, every year, it feels like the Dolphins fans are excited about, oh, we got some bigger running back to come in here, and nobody can get him off the field. He's outplayed Mostert. The rookie Jalen Wright's been an afterthought, or Ollie Gordon's been an afterthought. The sophomore Jalen Wright has been an afterthought because you just can't take Jalen Wright off the field. He's too productive.
That is Brendan Tobin joining us on the show today. Brendan, you'll be happy to know that Terry Rozier, he has been released from jail, but he had to put his $6 million house up for collateral for bond. So Terry Rozier, he free, but man, it was expensive to be free.
Yeesh.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.